Hello, I am Gabriel Camanzulli, and I would like to introduce the second program of Is Debatable. This is a weekly discussion of current affairs in its second series. The program is run by the Department of International Relations in the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta as part of the course assessment for research methods. Today's program will be the discussion of Turkish relations with the European Union. The introductory session will be dealt with by Dr. Kamil Samut. Today's participating students are Charlton Ruffalo and Corey Formosa. We will also have a short telephone intervention by Ivan Camilleri, the Times correspondent in Brussels, who has covered the latest developments in international relations between Turkey and the EU. We will start our discussion by having an overview and presentation of the issues by Dr. Samut.
Thank you, Gabriel. Although a great part of Turkey forms part of Asia Minor, advocates of Turkey's EU membership claim it qualifies as a European state, as the Turkish Republic was established on Western European models. After the fall of the Ottoman Empire in 1923, Turkey's first president, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, modernized the country's legal and educational systems. He encouraged the adoption of a European secular way of life, with Turkish written in the Latin alphabet and with citizens adopting European-style names. He even famously banned the traditional fez to encourage Turkish men to wear European attire. Throughout the 20th century, Turkey attached great importance to developing its relations with other European countries. During the Cold War, it was closely aligned with the West, being a member of NATO, the Council of Europe, the OECD, and an associate member of the Western European Union. Consequently, Turkey now argues that elements of its foreign policy have long converged with those of its European partners. Moreover, Turkey's interest to extend its economic cooperation with the EU with Europe dates back to the formation of the European Economic Community. Turkey made its very first attempt to join in 1958. Then the EEC tactfully suggested an association agreement until Turkey's circumstances permitted accession. 36 years ago, the EEC established a customs union through which it abolished tariffs and other barriers to its imports from Turkey, which made it one of the EEC's most privileged trading partners. General Kenan Avran's military coup of the 12th of September 1980 threw Turkey into the hands of a military junta. Relations with the economic community were frozen. But as soon as life in Turkey turned to normality, aspirations to join the European community were revived. Turkey applied for full membership in 1987. Negotiations started in October 2005, 48 years after it first began to woo the European bloc. However, little more than a year later, the EU suspended the talks in 8 out of the total of 35 policy areas as a result of disagreements on 2 areas. First, the European Union says that Turkey must open its ports and airports to traffic from Cyprus, an EU member. Turkey is determined not to until the EU ends the Turkish Cypriot community's economic isolation. Secondly, the EU claims that Turkey's efforts to bring its laws in line with European standards have slowed down. Particularly, it wants Turkey to repeal a law which undermines freedom of speech. The recent court case against Nobel Prize winner Orhan Pamuk is one of the most well-publicized human rights cases. Pamuk, one of Turkey's best-known novelists, faced a prison sentence for making controversial comments on his country's killing of 1 million Armenians and 30,000 Kurds. He was charged with insulting Turkey's national character, Turkishness. International organizations like Amnesty International claim that successive Turkish governments have either denied that human rights violations occur or justified them as the inevitable consequences of defending national security. Disappearances and political killings have claimed thousands of victims since 1991. On top of these difficulties, there are other factors hampering Turkish membership that are external to the difficult negotiation process. Europe needs to get its own house in order before further enlargement. The EU needs to reform and to consolidate its structures in order to cope with a union of 27 nations, unless it wants to run the risk of an implosion within. Besides Turkey, there are other countries lined up to be considered. Croatia is another applicant. The EU has also promised to consider applications by Albania, the former Yugoslav republics of Macedonia, Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, and once its independent status is agreed, Kosovo. Before considering further enlargement, the EU needs to revive the constitutional treaty that was blatantly rejected in two referenda held in France and the Netherlands 2 years ago. Reviving talks on a constitutional treaty and securing public support for it is one of the toughest EU tasks ahead. So, when should we expect Turkey to join, if it ever does? Definitely not in the near future. Until recently, EU officials talked about a possible Turkish membership in 10 to 15 years. However, the President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, has now used the phrase 15 to 20 years. Turkish membership seems to be getting more distant.
Thanks, Dr. Samud, for your presentation. We can now start our debate with the first question. Turkey is unofficially European. Does a secular Muslim country like Turkey have the credentials to become officially recognized as part of Europe?
Well, first of all, the foundation of the European Union was never claimed to be on religious ground, so this argument is something that seems to trouble more the general population rather than politicians or experts. Moreover, it is worth pointing out that the Turks consider their state a strongly secular one, just as the EU defines itself. Besides, Turkey as a secular and party-free Islamic country has also been presented to the European public as a potential bridge to Islamic world. Turkish membership could in this respect represent a chance for the EU to play a role in the reconciliation of Islam, democracy and the West. So I do not think that this accession might bring any unwanted effects. On the contrary, I think that Turkey's accession might eventually lead to positive achievements.
The fact that Turkey is a Muslim country should not be a primary concern for the European Union. One has to keep in mind that even Bosnia is a Muslim state and Bosnia is still a potential candidate for the European Union. Moreover, the European Union is not a Christian club and so it can absorb non-Christian states within it. While Turkey, due its huge population size, will have as many MPs as in the European Parliament as the largest members, Germany and France, nonetheless, Turkey is formally a secular state, and so it is unlikely that it will make pressures to promote a Muslim agenda within the Union. We can say that the European Union is more concerned about human rights issue and its democratic deficit and its backward economy and its relations with some states like Cyprus.
So in international relations terms, what would Turkey's entrance into the EU mean for Turkey-Greek relations on Cyprus? Moreover, what would be the impact on the EU's common foreign security policy if Turkey was admitted with Iran at the EU's borders?
In a speech on the enlargement process and Turkey's place in this process, European Commissioner Verheugen claimed that the European Union and Turkey are linked in a strategic partnership and that the EU wants to further integrate Turkey into the European structures. Moreover, he underlined the need to have Turkey as a reliable partner in foreign and security policy, and highlighted the fact that the interest of the European Union is that Turkey plays a constructive role in the European Union's common efforts to contribute to peace and stability in the region. I totally agree with Verheugen. In fact, Turkey's role can indeed be significant in providing stability in the regions of Eastern Mediterranean, the Middle East and the Caucasus. Furthermore, the European Union can have a pacifying influence in Southern Caucasus, where difficult historical ties between Turkey and Armenia are still a factor of instability in the region. In addition, Turkish accession would also increase the European Union's interest in the Black Sea region. Though the prior accessions of Bulgaria and Romania have already given the Union borders with the Black Sea countries. However, extending the European Union's frontiers to Armenia, Azerbaijan and Georgia, Iraq, Iran and Syria also means that the European Union will be drawn closer to several regions of continuing political instability. Regarding the issue of Turkish recognition of the Republic of Cyprus, I am confident that the negotiations between the European Union and Turkey would soon result in a positive outcome. Actually, the European Union managed to persuade the Turks to put forward more reforms which would respect more the human rights. Therefore, I believe that the negotiations between the European Union and Turkey over the issue of Cyprus would also be fruitful. Apart from this, some policymakers have also argued that the future common foreign and security policy would be crippled without the southern eastern flank of the Europe. Turkey has emerged as a regional power in eastern Mediterranean, and its importance has increased in recent years. In order to realize the common foreign and security policy, and for the EU to maintain the security of its adjoining regions, Turkey's membership is seen as indispensable. The development of a common European security policy would definitely be facilitated if Turkey did not sit between the transatlantic chairs as a NATO member without EU affiliation. Last but not least, Turkey also has a strategic location with respect to Europe's future energy supplies from the Middle East, and most importantly from the Caspian region. Ultimately, the countries surrounding Turkey supply 60% of the natural gas and petroleum demand of Europe. Turkish accession could help secure access to these resources and their safe transportation into the EU single market. It would diversify possible EU supply lines, offering alternative export outlets both for Russia, the Middle East, and the countries around the Caspian. In addition to Turkey's control of the vital Bosphorus route from the Black Sea Mediterranean, Turkey is also a transit country for important energy networks. For gas, Turkey will become an increasingly important transit country between the enlarged EU and the Caspian producers, as well as in the Middle East.
Kari, what are your comments? Do you agree with Charlton?
One of the EU's biggest contentions with Turkey revolves around the Cypriot question. Turkey still does not recognize Cyprus as a sovereign state. The situation is even more complex as Cyprus became an EU member in the 2004 enlargement. Turkey does not consider Cyprus as a state. Due to the historical conflict, this country between the Greek Cypriots and the Turkish Cypriots. Furthermore, Turkey's foreign relations are also questionable, and this is another problematic area for the European Union. Turkey does not only have disputes with Cyprus, it also has a long-standing dispute with Greece over a number of Aegean islands. The Turks are also in dispute with Armenia over the region of Nagorno-Karabakh. Nagorno-Karabakh is de facto an independent country, even though it is officially part of Azerbaijan. Armenia still claims that Nagorno-Karabakh is still part of its territory. Turkey supports Azerbaijan on this issue, and it had certainly maintained economic embargoes and close off the land border crossing against Armenia on this particular issue. Another point is that if Turkey were to enter the European Union, the EU will extend its borders to a troubled hotspot, the Middle East, which is not a stable region. With Turkish membership, EU borders will touch Iran and Iraq. This will increase the need of a common foreign policy. Up to now, the EU does not have a common foreign policy, an area which was left in the hands of intergovernmental negotiations. As a result, in the case of the Iraq war, the British could align with the US, even though other members like Germany and France opposed the intervention. The fact that the EU is not in agreement over a common foreign policy implies that a Turkish membership might exacerbate disagreements on the common foreign security policy. The EU is working hard so that Turkey would have stable relations with its members, especially with the issue of Cyprus. The EU is doing this through diplomatic relations. Despite this, the EU could never accept that Turkey would not recognize Cyprus as a state. This is evidently shown when Turkey issued a statement in the additional protocol in 2005 that it does not recognize Cyprus. The EU reaction was that it could never permit such things.
Welcome back to the second part of It's Debatable. Today we are discussing the international relations between Turkey and the EU. We have Ivan Camilleri, the Times correspondent in Brussels, on the phone with us, and he will give us his opinion on the subject.
Well, at the moment, you have to see where we are. Basically, we can say that the process is not moving that much. As you might know, Turkey has started negotiating entry into the European Union last year. But since then, not a lot of progress has been made. In fact, the crucial point is what is called the Ankara Protocol. According to the negotiations, Turkey had to accede to this protocol before continuing with its negotiations. So this protocol, the Ankara Protocol, lays down basically the fundamentals of what the EU expects from Turkey. One of the main bones of contention, basically, is that Turkey will open its air and sea ports to all ships and planes from the EU member states. Because of the problem of Cyprus, and Turkey doesn't recognize Cyprus, Turkey has denied access to the Cypriot ships, mainly to its ports. And so the process has been almost stalled. The General Affairs Council of the European Union, in which member states are represented through foreign ministers, has decided to hold negotiations until Turkey gives its consent to Cypriot ships basically entering the ports of the of Turkey. So the process is quite stalled at the moment. The real implications are that the EU is not really happy with Turkey joining the European Union, first of all because of its size. It has a lot of people and its economy is massive. The democracy in Turkey is still a bit on the wrong footing because of the military, which has a lot of control still in Turkey. And so commentators are saying that maybe the EU is using the Ankara Protocol to hold on Turkey from joining the European Union. Well, if Turkey in fact joins the European Union, it will not be before 15 to 20 years' time. So it is a really long way, and we're very far from saying that Turkey can be a member of the European Union.
Thanks, Ivan Camilleri, for your contribution. Corey, you are against Turkish membership in the EU. Could the EU handle such a populous and mainly poor agrarian country in terms of its budget spending?
Despite the fact of substantial modernization, Turkey is still backward and has a high poverty rate. This could have a negative impact on the EU, especially since the EU is struggling with developmental issues in Eastern Europe as well. It is unlikely that the EU will be ready and willing to absorb the high Turkish unemployment figures. Before Turkey qualifies for a member, it needs to show it has restructured itself to fit the common EU social, political and economic levels. Before Turkey qualifies for EU membership, it needs to upgrade its standards, and such targets are neither easy nor quick to achieve. On the other hand, the EU offers funds to help potential members, and here Turkey could be a huge burden indeed. One has to keep in mind that the 2004 enlargement, many countries that became members did not match the economic level of other countries in the Union like France and Germany. These countries even today benefit from these funds so that they will have aid to develop their countries to a more European Union standard. In its negotiations, Turkey will undoubtedly press for benefits from the EU. I think the problem is that considering Turkey's huge population, it will be entitled for plenty of benefit, and it could become a significant burden on EU's budget.
Charlton, what are your comments to what Corey said?
Well, I do not think that Turkey's accession to the EU would represent such a costly enlargement. In my opinion, Turkey's economic situation does not constitute a distinctive impediment to its accession compared with former rounds of enlargements. Turkey's economic situation is comparable to that of Bulgaria and Romania, which were part of the second round of Central and Eastern European countries. Turkey's per capita income level was about 12% of the EU 15 in 2003, whereas the per capita gross domestic product of Romania and Bulgaria reached only 10% of the EU-15 levies. Moreover, unlike other new EU member countries, Turkey does not have to restructure its economic system. Rather, the basic structures of a market economy are already secured. It is true that macroeconomic imbalances still typify the Turkish economy. However, it is worth mentioning that after the crisis of 2001, the Turkish economy has returned to a growth path. Inflation has reduced, the currency has stabilized, and debt indicators have improved. This progress can be attributed to the decisive reforms that Prime Minister Erdogan's administration had carried out in these last years. Therefore, I would not agree that the accession of Turkey would be such a costly enlargement for the European Union.
Corey, what is the situation about Turkey vis-à-vis democratization and the rights of the minority groups?
Turkey still does not satisfy the democratic criteria required so that it qualifies as a member of the European Union. Turkey still suffers a democratic deficit, and its democracy still needs to be consolidated so that it will become a 100% democracy like that of other members of the European Union. Turkey is regularly questioned and criticized for its human rights record, a dearth of gender equality, political freedom and rights for minority groups. The Kurds and non-Sunni Muslims are two significant ethnic minorities who suffer from widespread discrimination to date. Turkey still does not admit that the incident vis-à-vis the Armenians of 1915 was not a genocide. Even important groups of the European Parliament urged Turkey to admit that the 1915 incident was in fact genocide, but as usual, Turkey always refused to admit this.
I definitely cannot deny that Turkey is to a certain point a party-free country, and that by now it has not yet fulfilled its obligations of the Copenhagen Protocol criteria. But one cannot deny that the Turkish government is not willing to obey them. In fact, in the past years, Turkey has indeed achieved a notable level of legislative and practical progress. Since October 2001, several reform packages have been passed. They included measures to eliminate regulations and practices that had contributed to impunity for torture and ill-treatment. The death penalty has been abolished. Laws on the forming of associations and the right to assemble have been liberalized, and religious and ethnic minorities have acquired greater legal rights. Specifically, the ban of Kurdish and other languages had been lifted. Moreover, gender equality had been strengthened, and the judiciary system has been aligned with European standards, whereas the supremacy of international agreements in the area of fundamental freedoms over internal legislation has been established. Therefore, I am confident that Turkey will not fail to satisfy this criteria.
My last question for today is, could Turkey become a member even though geographically it is not in Europe?
One has to remember that only 3% of Turkish territory lies in geographic Europe. I feel that technically Turkey should never be admitted as an EU member, and this is a European club and most of Turkey is not. We have to keep in mind that the EU already encountered some surpassing membership requests that include one from Morocco, an application that was rejected. Morocco was rejected simply because geographically it is not situated in Europe. I think that the reasons applied for Morocco could be applied to Turkey.
Well, it is true that Turkey is seen as being outside Europe's natural boundaries. However, its belonging to the European sphere was already recognized as early as in the 1950s due to its participation in the Council of Europe and the European Conference on Security and Cooperation. I also agree that Turkey is culturally different from Europe. However, it had already long ago chosen European values when in the 1920s Kemal Atatürk had introduced a modernist agenda where secularism and political constitution based on the European model were introduced.
Thanks, Charlton and Corey, for participating in our debate. I hope you liked today's program. Thank you for listening. Please join us for next week's program, in which we'll be discussing the recent surge of US troops in Iraq.